B3. Number 4A.
So let us take that divine standpoint in the Christ order and see what atmosphere we can build up in our consciousness so that it gives really that sense of Christ as the expression of God, gives us the sense that that expression is directed towards specification, to express to the outside. And so if we take principle and think, well, now, what can principle be when it has to symbolize these qualities? And it seems to be that the term potential power would give us an indication of that. There are always power senses in this column, but principle is that which says, I contain all the power and I'm just waiting to express it. And that is usually called in physics potential power. It means that power which lies there, ready to express itself. That's the potential power. So that we start out with principle and see that principle has within itself the potentiality of expressing the power of God. And so we get first that standpoint of power. When we come to life, we can always see that life also has power. Namely, that it is that vital power, that dynamic power, that irresistible power, that in irrepressible power, that cannot be subdued, suppressed. That cannot be suppressed. It just pulls through. So you get now the pulling through. I get now the dynamics of it. So that principle says, I'm life. That principle says, I am the potential power, but as life, I express that power. I make that power vital. I make that power dynamic. I make that power irrepressible and irresistible and give to that power a terrific drive. Can you hear? Can you hear always the waterfall? If we come to truth, what kind of a power would we feel here from the divine standpoint? Perhaps it would be that power of consciousness which says, I know what I want to achieve. I know the idea that I want to express. I'm aware of it. I know it. So that it gives that power of consciousness to express itself. So that this is necessary. Can you see, if we only would have principle and life, then something would be very dangerous at that point. Namely, we would have just that potentiality of principle that says as life, and that potentiality of principle I bring out, I am that driving power that expresses itself, that is dynamic, that is vital, that does something. But is it going to do something good, something right, or it is a blind power? So the power of truth must come in and say, no, that's not the blind power. That power knows right from the beginning what it wants to achieve. That power knows as truth exactly the right idea that it wants to express. So at that point, you see, we forestall, so to say, the danger that the life power could bring out something that is not right, not good. So we get already this terrific sense there is a potentiality there. You know, you just feel the potentiality of a principle. It can hardly be held back. It wants to express itself. It says, oh, golly, I'm life. I express myself. with all the power, with all the vitality, with all the dynamics, with all the drive. But that power also says, I am the power of truth that can forestall error, that knows what it wants to achieve. It is that truth power that knows the right idea that it wants to bring out, that it wants to pull through. It's that truth power that breaks through everything and says, I know what I want to achieve. That's the power of consciousness. Then in love, do we have love as power? Oh, yes. Huh? Love is a terrific power. It's that power that really engages itself so much that it says, I do anything and everything that my plan is being fulfilled. I called it the power of total engagement, where love is seen as that which says, I want to meet every need, and in order to meet every need, I really bring the whole universe into motion and into doing something and into operation, so that that plan that I have in view is really going to be fulfilled, so that the whole universe is engaged really in bringing out the right idea. So when you sit back and contemplate that, you see, don't you get a terrific sense of the Christ power? That you say, from myself, I can do nothing. I'm absolutely powerless. I can't play God. God must play God. And God is going to play God. How is God going to play God? He has a Christ. So I sit back and say, so all what I can do is to have that vision and to have that spiritual understanding that feels what this waterfall, that divine waterfall, is going to achieve. And I sit back and I just contemplate and say, golly, in that whole universe there is a God that is called now principle. And that principle holds within itself all the potentialities that is possible in this universe. It has within itself the potential power. And that potential power is not stagnant, it's not latent, it expresses itself, it's dynamic, it's life. So that principle needs life in order that that potential power can be turned, translated, into dynamic power. See? Into dynamic power. And it begins to operate. But it must operate so that something true is being established. So it must be the truth power that is embedded in that divine principle life. And so I feel the truth is at work. You say that so often. The truth is at work. It's that truth that knows what it wants to achieve and that it is the right thing that it wants to achieve. And I begin to see that that truth power is love, that it engages itself totally in every detail, that it is not a haphazard power, a half-wayish power, a half-hearted power. It's really a power that is of the terrific sense of love that says, I want the salvation of the whole world. I want that everything is being solved. And I engage the whole universe for it so that it is being resolved. And you feel suddenly that you have, so to say, above you, that waterfall coming down on us, and feeling there is nothing that can resist it. So we come to soul, because if love says, I want to save, then it must also show how it wants to save, or how it does save. So we come to the last three, soul, spirit, mind, that show now how that saving process, that translating process, is being is processed so that the right idea can come out. And the very first thing that we have to see is the nature of soul. Why? Because soul is identity, as we know. Now, a translation must always be so that when God translates itself into the form of idea, that nothing is getting lost on that process, or during that process, so that not half of God is coming down, not a third, nor a tenth, nor a hundredth, nor a millionth is coming down, but that the whole God is coming down, so that there is identity between God and its expression, that there is identity between the divinely subjective and the divinely objective, between the divine cause and divine expression. The divine subjective is really the person of God, the Trinity of God, principle, life, truth, and love, that says, I express myself, but when I express myself as an object, that divine object has everything that the divine nature has, that life, truth, and love has. There is nothing lost on the way of translation. That's why also in other translation, even in human sense, if you translate from one language into the other, you should feel an identity between the original and the translated form. That nothing gets lost through translation. Though we put it into other language, into other symbols, the inner nature of it must be identical. So we get here a soul that sense that nothing is being lost or belittled on the way of translation. I called it the identifying power or the translating power that really secures, so to say, the identity of the subject when it is brought out as an object, as an idea. Is that clear too, that tone of soul? That it must have that nature that it says, in that translation process, everything that is divine, subjective, must be brought to a divinely objective form. When we have seen that the whole, see, principle, life, truth, and love gives us the whole, the Godhead, the person of God, that the whole God is being translated into the form of idea. If we see that the whole is being translated, we naturally must first see that what is established must be specific. So through the identifying power, we come to spirit that says, but that whole must be specified. And we know that spirit does really that. It is really that which, as Mrs. Eddy says, spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all things. Here, that this is a translation process, that if we take a whole and then bring it out as infinite individualized ideas, that the whole, in order to be that individuality, must go through that process of first diversifying, so that the whole becomes diversified, many, but that those diversified ideas are not just isolated ideas, they are classified ideas, they are diversified into categories, are classified, and within a category, in order to be still more specified, they are individualized. See, it's something like this. Sometimes we have difficulty with this quite interesting subject of spirit that diversifies, classifies, and individualizes. I take a symbol. I don't know. I just take it as what comes into my mind. Let's say if we have the universe of plants, you call it
botany.
Yeah. All right. Let's take botany. Botany is one concept, huh? Just one generalized concept. Everything that is of the nature of flowers and grass and trees and I don't know what belongs to that one common term, botany. Hmm? So that's the one term. Now, what does science do to that botany? It does exactly that what Mrs. Eddy calls spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes. It says, all right, I take botany, and I see that I must have a diversified sense of the whole realm of botany. And so perhaps diversifies it and says, well, there is that field of trees, and the field of bushes, and the field of grass, and the field of flowers. What else do you have? You see, we diversify it, huh? And say these are various departments in botany. And we have all those diversified departments, then we take each department and say, now I could classify these departments. I take the trees and I classify the trees. There are, my English, huh? There are trees that have needles and the trees that have leaves. There are trees, and I begin to classify the trees. So that I finally have an oak tree, and I have a birch tree, I have an elm tree. But does an elm tree exist? There is no such a thing as an elm tree. There are only such things as elm trees. The elm tree per se does not exist. It's just a classification. But when that classification is individualized, then I have elm trees. And every elm tree looks different, though he has the classification of being an elm tree. Can you see that? Now, if you do that with the flowers and the bushes and the grass and everything, then you have botany, and you have diversification, classification, individualization, and then you have individualization, then you have every grass, every tree in the world is included, every bush in the world is included, everything is included, the whole world. And each one is different, each one is individual, not one resembles the other. Is identical with the other one exactly. Can you see? So you have infinite individuality, and yet they are all classified under the diversification of botany. Can you see what spirit does? Spirit does the same thing. It says, you talk about God Almighty, that's very nice. Yes, there is such a thing as a God Almighty. One God Almighty, botany. There is such a thing. But can you really work with that concept? Can we just say there is botany, and in botany everything belongs to me, if I don't know how I should diversify, classify, and individualize that subject? So spirit always comes and says, I tell you how to do that. I begin to order, the spirit orders, I begin to order everything in that field so that every individual expression of it has its clear-cut place value. Do you see that? And still every grass is botany, and every tree is botany, and every bush is botany, and every flower is botany. Yes? So every idea is God, every idea is God, but every idea is different. But what makes it different so that they are ordered, so that there is not just a chaotic, a disordered heap of individual ideas. These ideas must have classification, they must have gender, in order that we can really use the system of it, just as you use the system of botany. Okay, so can we see that if spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes, that it does translate the generality into the specific? Huh? Isn't that idea of spirit, you see, which says spirit is order, and in order to bring order, spirit must bring hierarchical order into it. Hierarchical order means that it diversifies, that it classifies, that it individualizes, so that every individual thing has its proper place value within the whole. Yeah? Now, we can see that this is the brings the answer to that question, how can we know the specific idea? For a case, we always were asking, how on earth can I know the specific idea? I don't know it, so what shall I do that I know it? And we said, well, that actually has to do with divine mind reading. Well, what is divine mind reading? It's the scientific translation of immortal mind to the point of idea. How does that go on? Well, how does that happen? It happens through the Christ order. So it happens when I sit back and I don't put my nose into the book, and when I don't engage my calculation of human thinking and think what could it be and what may be the right idea and how can I arrive at the right idea through reversal and so on, when you just drop everything and you take another standpoint and you sit on the throne of grace. And from the throne of the immortal mind, you look out with that immortal mind and say, well, I'm the divine principle. That divine mind says, I'm the divine principle. I'm the potential power that can translate itself. And it does translate itself through life. It has a vital power. It wants to express itself. And because it's the power of consciousness, it will know what it wants to show. It will know the idea, the true idea which it wants to bring out. And as love, it engages everything in the whole universe, in the whole divine universe, in order to translate that right idea. And I know when it translates it, it is of the nature of soul. That idea will have the identical nature as God, as the Godhead. And as spirit, it will diversify and classify and individualize. As spirit, if I really stay in that purity of that translation order, that spirit, the spirit is purity, which means I must not deviate from that category of the Christ order. If I entertain that, that is the point of spirit, and that begins to move, and you will always see that if we are pure about it, that suddenly things begin to sort themselves out. That's the order of spirit. When things begin to sort themselves out, when spirit begins to diversify, begins perhaps even to separate, begins to classify and say, well, actually it has to do with this and that and the other, and begins to individualize until it has the individual clear-cut place value. Don't think now, I just felt it, don't think now, how does that happen? It happens. You don't know how it happens. That's the Christ. That's the Christ. That's his job, not our job, to know how it happens. We only know how it does happen, namely that if we stay spiritually with that order, that it actually begins to sort things out. Perhaps that's the easiest expression for spirit here, begins to sort out things. Scientifically speaking, we would say It brings order, and in order to bring order, it brings hierarchical structure, so that in a hierarchical structure, everybody knows what is his place value. So that when this spirit begins to move upon the waters of mortal mind, when that Holy Ghost really comes and begins to move in the mentality of the patient, when that Holy Ghost, that Divine Spirit begins to move and to bring motion into a situation and things fall into place, that's another good expression, I just quoted, Spirit makes everything fall into place. That's diversifying, classifying, and individualizing. Then everything falls into place, and then you say, as mind, as the last one, now the idea is manifest. Now I see the idea, now the idea is crystal clear. It's the light of mind that comes with power and says, you got it. You got it. Is that not very easy? Or let's say, is that not a terrific conscious impact that one feels? Again, for the 100th time, until Saturday it will be the 200th time. But it should, once and for all, sink in. And there is no other method to make something sink in except to repeat it and repeat it. Can you see that you don't have to translate God to man? Can you see that the solution is not to reverse material things into ideas? Can you see that you have to let it happen, but that we have to be aware what we let happen, so that we are not saying, all right, the Christ idea will do it, I don't have to do anything. No, 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 no. Huh? No, no. If we say, well, I have nothing to do, and the Christ idea will do it, and that's all what we know, this is just being silly, just being apathetical. It's just being lazy. Though we ourselves have nothing to do out of ourselves, we have a terrific job to do out of God. By sitting on the throne of God and sticking to that throne of God through hell and high water, that nothing makes us move from that throne of God. And just sit on that throne of God and say, now, what do I see? Now comes the activity of consciousness, of divine consciousness. That's why it is not apathetical. It's very active, but divinely active. And I sit there always with a peaceful mind and at rest, and I contemplate that waterfall, that divine waterfall, just as I have said it before, or depicted before. Going right out from principle and seeing the power constantly. You must constantly have a power sense that comes down. Principle of power sense that wants to come down. Life is the activity of coming down. Truth says I come down only as the right thing and not as the wrong thing. And love that says I come down and mobilize everything into the world that the idea will be brought about. And soul says, I come down, and on that coming down process I lose nothing. I come down in the absolutely identical way as the nature of God, and I come down and bring everything into order. I order everything. I have the power of ordering things and putting everything into its right place. And that is the power of demonstration. That's the power of mind that brings to you the idea. Isn't that treatment? That's the Christ treatment.